Welcome back, family. This is your boy, ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means, Ed, as you know, I am back with another one. Today's episode is entitled, When Engaging Stakeholders, a Project Manager Should Do What? You know what's interesting about this, family, is when I was researching this topic about what I want to talk about here, one of the things that I've learned in my career in project management is the ability to, which is going to lead me into the first point, because you know I'm going to break down my 7-point framework. But what I really learned here was the ability to tailor, and that is a project management term, as you know, but really tailoring my communication. Let me expound on that, what I mean by that, family. So one day I was conversing with a colleague of mine, and I kept emailing my colleague. And I'm like, why am I not getting any response? And I said, you know what? Let me change it up and let me start pinging them in Teams. And then I was sending them text messages as well, because I understood that maybe I'm not the only one. You know, when you're a project manager, you sometimes can think that you're the only one that when you're sending out a request, or maybe it's me, maybe I'm telling on myself. But honestly though, family, I really truly, you know that it's important to have a understanding of the person you are communicating with. Because if you don't understand their communication style, then you could send, as I was sharing with you, I could send plenty of emails, yet the emails were not being read because to that person it wasn't a priority. However, when I pinged them in Teams or if I text them, I got an immediate response, if not, you know, within about 10 minutes or less. And so what it taught me was always focusing on finding ways to tailor your communication to your stakeholders. So again, that's number one, tailoring your communication. Because again, people receive communication different ways. And a side note here too, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm on a roll now and we ain't even got really into the video yet. Also, as a project manager, family, make sure that you watch this, that you take the time to not try and solution a problem through emails or Teams or any of those particular, you know, basically get on the call and have the discussion, because I really truly believe you'll be able to get more value. But the important thing is, which leads me into point number two, is making sure you identify the stakeholders. Identifying the stakeholders is key. I don't know how many times that I've been in meetings and we didn't have the right stakeholders in place because we didn't identify the stakeholders. Now, of course, one of the techniques that I use when identifying stakeholders, I always ask, and I learned this from Billie Jean too, and it's really, and it's Billie Jean, marketing guy, very, you know, really cool dude. But point I'm trying to make is that what I learned from that is asking a simple question. So let's say, for instance, we're in a meeting together, family, and I'm saying, you're telling me, well, yep, so for this particular project, we're going to need just 3 people. And then I'll say, well, what else? And I'll keep asking that what else, because what I've learned about that what else question, it really truly gets the mind to start thinking. It starts thinking outside of, no point intended, and I don't know why I keep doing this, outside the box. But what I'm saying, family, is having that ability to ask what else, or have the ability to ask a follow-up question, because it's just like anything. I know for me, when sometimes I'll get in a habit that if I don't take the time to remember a particular phone number, because again, they're in there by names, and so you don't really take the time to understand a number, but there are certain numbers that you need to put in a priority. I'll digress. Let's get into our next point. Point number 3, understanding stakeholder expectation. Ooh, wee, that's point number 3. You don't know how many times, whether through communicating via, you know, written or via over the phone or in a conference call, it's really understanding what are your expectations. I know I would sit down with a project sponsor when we would get a chance to when I would get a chance to connect with the project sponsor, and I say, hey, this is where we're at right now. I would like to know what your expectations are. I remember when we first met, this was what your expectations are. Family, watch this. I wrote them all down because I want to make sure we're on the same page, because what a lot of times will happen is you'll be on the table of contents and they're already on the first page of the book. And you're like, well, we're just building out the framework. So what I want you to understand is understanding your stakeholder expectation. This is a simple question. What do you expect to get out of this project? What are the results and the outcome? And most of that is going to be logged. You know, you're going to be able to leverage the business case. And then when you're building out the charter, you'll have that opportunity. But family, just making sure, it is very crucial that you ask that type of question. Another thing is point number four, is being able to have the ability to build trust and relationships. Let me say something to you. I know a lot of people don't like being transparent on projects. Okay, let me step that back. Sometimes people don't like being transparent on projects. And that to me is the number one reason. Okay. It's one of the number one reasons. Communication is another one, but it's one of the many reasons why projects fail. They fail because of the fact of, I can't be transparent with you, because if I am, then it's sort of like how if you see when a project manager turns their project, let's say a risk actually turns into an issue. And yes, let's say you have a response to handle that issue, but everyone else around you is so nervous. You're like, but we have a response to that, so we're good. Don't worry about it. And so, but just being able to build that foundation of trust with your stakeholders and having that engagement, because you won't be able to move a project forward without people, unless AI is in place. I don't know, maybe they're gonna have some AI bots, but currently at the making of this video, you do need to build that trust in a relationship, because at times you'll be able to call in favors, and being able to call in favors, you know, they may switch their priorities around to support you because you've built that trust, you've built that connection with them. Point number five, this is one of my things, managing conflict and expectation. Now, I believe there's a such thing as healthy conflict. Some people disagree, but I believe it's better to have that healthy conflict, being professional, of course, versus you having that conversation behind someone's back and there's nothing, all you're doing is getting more and more frustrated because the person that is supposed to be doing the task or the activity or the thing is not living up to what they were supposed to execute on. And instead of just talking about it and nothing is coming of it, talk to the person, talk and work with them. And you'll find out more times than not. Now, you do have the people out there that just really just don't care. I mean, they're there for a check, and that's fine. But the people that do care, they explain, hey, this happened and I apologize. So they'll at least give you a reasoning so you can understand that reasoning and making sure that you support them better. The next part of that is the expectations. We, as project managers, family, we have to set expectation, whether realistic or unrealistic, you choose, but we have to set some type of foundational expectation and ensuring that the team understands this is the expectation as far as to execute. And when you have that, boy, oh boy, you're unstoppable. Point number six, I've noticed is about, having the ability to work with stakeholders throughout the project. Like, you should always remember what I told you at the beginning, family, asking that question, what else? Normally when you start off and initiating a project, of course, you're starting off with identifying stakeholders. And sometimes we will forget about through the tenure of the project, there may be other stakeholders that you may need to engage that you wasn't aware of, because as a project, we know it's a temporary endeavor. So of course you're not gonna have all the data. And as you're moving along, you may run into something that, oh wow, I probably should have had this particular resource on the project. So it's up to you, family, as you're moving through the project. And a lot of times you're not gonna know. So I don't want you to already go into a mode of, man, I don't know who's all. That's great, you don't know who all is on there. But do you have a foundation of who should be there? If you do, we can always work through that, okay? Point number seven, last and final point. You know, one of the things that I used to do at a previous organization, when I completed a project, I would use a tool called SurveyMonkey. And the reason why I would use that tool, this is walks us into point number 7, monitor and evaluate stakeholder satisfaction, is because one day I was walking, you know, in the hallways, and I heard a group of people talking about a project manager that I worked with. And I was just, hey, I'm gonna be honest with you, you know, as we call it, we was ear hustling. I was ear hustling strong because I wanted to understand what the disconnect was. And number two is why they weren't having this conversation with their project manager. So I realized more people feel more comfortable giving you a, like I always would make sure it's anonymous, but people will give you feedback in more of an anonymous state where they're not held accountable versus if you were going to confront them. Now, if that project manager would have went and confronted them, they'd be like, no, that's not what our intention is. So then you go down that whole road. So my whole point is when I started leveraging SurveyMonkey, it gave me back some of the information, areas of weaknesses that I could work on and that I did work on. And you're like, well, I didn't see that as a big gap. Like one of the things I got as feedback was like, wow, your emails are very powerful and it's a lot of information. Could you do two of those? Meaning one email that has very detailed and one high level. I said, oh man, that's a no brainer. Yeah, I could do the cliff notes on that. So the whole point, family, I want you to understand is when you are leading a project, you know, you heard me say leading, not manage, making sure that you always are checking in throughout the whole project. Even, I mean, don't wait until the end to check in. Continually to check in and get a satisfaction. But to be honest with you, the most opportunity you're going to have is when you have been able to create some type of survey. Even Microsoft has, I think it's Microsoft Forms, something of like that nature. I can't, and I may have said it wrong. If I did, I apologize. Someone correct me in the comments. But again, family, this is your boy ED. Until next time, I'm out.